Before we get into the episode, we wanted to talk to you about Mischief Media and all of the awesome podcasts that we have going strong.
Yeah, especially during this time when we're all in our homes and unable to commute.
Yeah, but
no commute does not mean no podcasts.
It doesn't. Honestly, more podcasts. It means more podcasts. Since we last had an episode of Make New Mistakes, I think we've added to the network. Nonplussed.
Yes.
And Healthy Geek Academy. Our last episode was with Robin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, gosh. Wow. It's been a minute here on Make New Mistakes, so we're going to explain why in the rest of the episode. But you should go to mischiefmedia.com and check out the wide variety of shows we have. Nonplussed is one that I've been listening to nonstop. Actually, Nonplussed and Healthy Geek Academy I've been listening to with great excitement every time there's a new episode. Nonplussed is a gay romp through Disney Plus with Josh and Clancy, who are husbands, and talk about all, you know, they pick a movie and, or pick something on Disney Plus and break it down. They did Sister Act and it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Real fun. And then Robin, our Healthy Geek Academy host, has been just kicking ass talking about how to stay well and alert and
active,
yeah, active and healthy during this time of craziness,
which is very important. So go listen to that for sure. And then we have the old favorites of A Story Most Queer and Jump Scare and Extraneous that have just been putting out really fun episodes through this entire time. So again, go to mischiefmedia.com and check out all of our podcasts.
On to the show.
Welcome to Make New Mistakes,
a show about being in business,
being in charge,
and being the one to totally screw it up.
Hosted by two lady C-suite types who are still learning,
like you.
Hi, Takiya.
Hi, Melissa.
I haven't seen you in person since March 9th.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was talking to someone and I was like, I haven't used a public restroom since February.
Oh, I did once because we had to go back to, so we flew New York, my fiance's, this is for family has a house in the woods, and so as an immunocompromised person, I was very excited to get out of New York, and so, but one day I did have to go back to go to a doctor, and I used a public bathroom once, and man, you'd think I was performing open heart surgery the way I attempted it.
Don't touch
anything.
Two
different sets of gloves. Yeah, don't touch anything. Two sets of gloves. Anything touches anything, you like pour hand sanitizer on like my dress. I did. I was wearing like a little shift dress. So I just like rubbed hand sanitizer all over it. Just
you got to be careful.
So what are we talking about here on Make New Mistakes?
I think that's what we're talking about. The deep uncertainty of this time and how you manage that as leaders.
I wish I had an answer.
Well, so I...
I've been texting people. I have. Some other people I know who are leaders and bosses and whatever the right word is. I have reached out in recent days to say... how are you doing this? And the consensus is no idea, just getting through it day by day.
Yeah, I think that that's actually like a really important step in managing uncertainty is like building a network that you can depend on, even if the answer is, I don't know. Like, I think that there's something really great in that validation that everyone is going through this crazy thing together. It's not that someone else has it figured out and you are just flailing. And so building a network and having people that you can reach out to is really important.
Yeah. Have you been reaching out to some people?
A little bit. I have mostly been trying to like check in with folks internally and making sure that everyone has the level of support that they need. In my like most Virgo way, I feel a lot better when I can help someone else and like organize something for someone else.
You're saying you're a fixer? I had no idea.
Me, a fixer? No.
No.
And so that's been really good. I've also been talking with a lot of friends who are like entrepreneurs and like doing, you know, their own individual businesses or side hustles or whatever about like how to, you know, squirrel away their acorns, how to make it through this time when you don't know when things will be back to normal, which is something we're dealing with.
Yeah, I think we can say mischief after our round of PPP funding that we talked about here on the podcast. There, with no sign that that was going to be extended or what, we had to undergo furloughs because we had to prepare our business for moving every single one of our events, which from 2020 to 2021, which literally today the news is that Florida is going to be the next place, the next like central point. And so thank goodness.
I mean, we had an event in 4 weeks in Florida. Every time I read something about Florida, I'm just like, it's hard to articulate the feeling that swells up in my chest because part of me is still thinking about Con of Thrones that was supposed to be in 4 weeks in Florida. And also part of me is just like, as someone who went through New York being the hotspot, I just like have incredible empathy for folks going through that. Like, it is something that is incredibly scary, and it's hard to describe if you haven't had to go through it. And like, I don't wish that on anyone. And so it's really hard to watch all of these states that, you know, in March didn't have as many cases, but now are just like taking off.
So we, because all of our events moved forward, basically our whole year of work got put on pause. I mean, I say that, it's not like we don't have other work that we do. Obviously, this network is part of it. But, you know, a really large portion of the work that we do has been moved forward. And so we had to really assess what that meant for the company. Would we have preferred to have, you know, the ability to just keep everybody on full time and just find, I mean, of course, like I'd love that. But that is not where the world is right now. And even more than that, the uncertainty seeping into the events industry every day that this goes on makes the future less certain. So it's not just, oh, we're moving it forward and everything's gonna be fine, we'll do it in a year. Now it's like, what steps do we have to take to make sure that we're part of the event industry surviving this even after there's a vaccine?
Absolutely. I think that the uncertainty in the events industry, like top to bottom, not just conventions, but like trade shows and I mean, hospitality,
concerts,
and airlines, and just like everywhere,
podcast tours.
Is crazy. And one of the things that I saw recently was that they were planning a convention at the Orange County Convention Center, which is where we would be in Florida, as the like first, you know, post-COVID event or what have you. And I think it was set for July and was going to be an expo, like an events expo, like it, like focused around how do we restart the events industry. And I don't know where that I don't know where that is anymore. I haven't.
That's so meta. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that. Wait, they were planning this July. To talk about post-COVID with the events industry.
Yep.
Who planned that? Can I have some talk? I just want to talk.
Honestly, I need to go back and find it and see if it's still a thing with the way that Florida is looking right now.
They fled the country. Anybody who put that program together
has fled the country. But it's just such an example of how, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we may have thought that like the worst was coming to an end and things, we can start to figure out how things look after this. And it can just turn on a dime and we don't know what next month looks like. We don't know what next week looks like, honestly.
That's when we shut down the office. I remember, so we shut down about a week before the world shut down. Yeah. And I remember it was because, you know, we all have history with working from home, and infections were like increasing in New York, and it was like, why should everybody be on a subway, just work from home, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. And then a couple of weeks just kept extending, and this extended period of uncertainty for a while sent me into like a, you know, like a deep panic. And now you just accustom, it's just a constant level of what's, you know, where's the water today. And it made me realize that I don't think we're built for this level of uncertainty to be in our lives. And the way in which I've adjusted, frankly, to a lot of it is a little bit scary.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
do you feel the same?
100%. I think that one, we are not built psychologically to be at this level of stress and have something that is quite honestly life or death staring us down for 3-4 months. Like, that is just like not sustainable as a human being. And so we grow accustomed to it. We make small adjustments. We figure out a way to live our lives as normally as possible around this. And it's weird to see the ways in which life has changed and would be unrecognizable to a Takiya in January. But that's how you get through uncertain times, is that you figure out what you can do and where you can exercise control and what are the changes that you can make to make it more sustainable for you as an individual. And then more broadly speaking, for the company and for the people that you work with. And it's a day-to-day adjustment.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I wake up in the morning and I kind of check in with myself about how I feel physically, how I feel mentally. In the beginning, I was keeping up my exercise regime and that was helping a lot. I wish I could tell you, Takiya, that I would stuck with it. Have not, but have gotten a lot like diet, not like a health thing, but like consistent diet and not being terrible about my diet.
Yeah.
Like, actually helps me mentally.
You know what I mean? Eating food at regular intervals.
I'm eating, like, real food. We've had a couple of weeks there where it was like, screw everything and just, like, ice cream and, like, you know, and it was just, ice cream's great, but when you have it every night, you know, and, like, that can, for me personally, that actively affects my mental space also. So I do a couple weeks of that sometimes. I'm like, all right, lock this back down, because you know that in 2 or 3 days of like treating your body right with food, your mental space is going to be affected as well. So like getting really, really clear actually about which of those things affect me. Also, I've been like super controlling about other things that I wasn't before, like our finances, mm-hmm. like our entity's finances. I've been locking down every last dollar because A, it's a measure of yep. control, which makes me feel in control, mm-hmm. and it's a pandemic. Yes. We need to you know, allocate yeah. and do it.
Yeah. I think that that's another important thing, like on top of building a network that you can reach out to, it's finding things to do that are both meaningful and tangible. So it is important that the finances be under control. And it also right. is like clear, like you can see numbers on a sheet. There's a clear amount of money in a bank account. It is very tangible. Whereas honestly, the specter of fear that the coronavirus has both on the world and on this industry is not tangible. Like it just feels like this blob of anxiety.
I cannot believe it has only been 3 months since the world kind of looked normal.
And yet, I can't believe it's been 3 whole months.
I know. But, you know, in 3 months, I think about time so differently now because, like you said, we're 4 weeks out from an event. The space from where we were to, from where we were, like, in our work cycle to where we would have yeah. been 4 weeks after an event, it's like not very long, and it's making me realize just how condensed our work cycles are.
Yes.
You know, and like every decision is fraught. I've got 18 forecast documents that I play with a million different scenarios on for how we're gonna
yes.
you know, come out. And Mischief is lucky in a lot of ways. We've gotten a lot of support. There's a lot of more support available to us that I'm sort of like waiting to hit the button on because I want to make sure we do it in the right time. So we are going to get through this. It's just, you know, furloughing people is horrible and only second to being furloughed, you know? So it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. This whole period has been a big old learning curve for us.
Absolutely. And honestly, it's a lot of lessons I didn't want to learn.
Yeah. Yes. And like, I feel particularly attuned to, and I don't know if attuned is the right word, but I'm like paying way more attention to people's moods than I was even before, because I'm so worried about everybody and how they're like, how they're doing and how they're coping. And I don't know at what point that veers into micromanagement and over and like unhelpful. You know what I'm saying? Or like I'm trying to determine which of my actions during the day are like are helpful or not. As in leadership in a business, you don't necessarily have a list of things that need to get done. Your whole day is about what actions am I taking that are up to mm-hmm. me that are advancing us. Mm-hmm. And when there is no certainty, it's a really wild and difficult place to be. And we've had a lot of ups and downs. We've had a lot of like moments where we expected that, you know, big things could be happening for us, even in this crazy times. And then only to like have that all brought back to earth. So the peaks and valleys are also very, very real and affecting. And yeah. Yeah, I don't know if people are hoping for an answer to how to deal with uncertainty during all this, but maybe this can provide some solidarity at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that like working through uncertainty is also a little bit about your state of mind. That like it is true that this is hard and it is scary and I don't know what tomorrow looks like. There is also a way to see that as exciting, right? Like this is, mm-hmm. you know, like, this is hard work. Yep. We are learning a lot. I don't know what tomorrow mm-hmm. looks like. So it could be anything. There is a lot of potential here. There is a lot of time in the next 4 weeks when we would be up to our eyeballs in event stuff, when we have more space to breathe and have strategic conversations right. and look at the big picture of this company. And those are things that I think it's worth acknowledging and like feeling positive about, because it can be very easy to just be like, the world is ending, everything is a trash fire, everything's coming apart. Mm-hmm. But there is some good out there. I think that
I'll say that all this uncertainty has also pushed us into more aggressive and proactive stances than we had been, which is really good. Everybody's guilty of coasting a little bit on practices and things that you've done, and all this uncertainty has made us seek out other opportunities and seek out things that we wouldn't normally do, which I'm obviously casing this in vague language because all those things are subjective or speculative, so you can't really, you know, you can't exactly announce them on a podcast.
Vaguely,
but there's a lot of like cool things that we're working on that we maybe would have waited longer to try and work on without this uncertainty. I've learned that uncertainty will freeze me for a while and then launch me into action. It's just that I'm used to action being met with more response right now, mm-hmm. but that's because of the rest of the world being so uncertain.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I think that as event organizers, we have honestly an unfair advantage because events are very stressful and there is just no way you can foresee what's going to happen. The one certainty I walk into every event with is that something I don't expect is going to happen. Yep. And I think that that's a frame of mind that makes you really great in a crisis. But on the other hand, as like a very operations oriented person who likes to have her I's dotted and T's crossed, I am used to having planned for this. And as it turns out, I did not plan for a pandemic.
It's a chaos. How could you not plan for a pandemic?
Didn't foresee this one. Did not put anything in place.
I just, the ways that it has upended literally everything is really eye-opening, that we, like, the fact that the world hasn't been planning for this possibility just shows the complacency we've been sitting in, because this is unlike a local natural disaster, unlike, you know, all natural disasters have an element of a lot of tragedy, but when you compare the scale to not just the tragic loss of human life, but the like ongoing effect on communities, the 45 million people who are unemployed right now, it is of a level like not since the Great Depression has something been this had this kind of effect. And you would think well, there probably are many people out there saying, hey, you should pay more attention to this because if this happens.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they did.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to go into a political thing here. However, there were people planning for this. There was whole organizational structures for exactly this kind of thing. And honestly, it just seems like maybe there's a dearth of global leadership, and I don't know where that could be coming from.
This is shocking. I've never heard this before, especially from you. I've never heard this before. It's funny because as I was saying it, I was realizing that the length of this and the uncertainty of this has made me forget a little bit
what it was like.
That we weren't all caught unawares. Some people were caught very awares. Uh-huh. Some people had actual drills of what to do should this happen. Mm-hmm. Prepared for them by people who actually knew what they were doing in their jobs. So, yes, you're right. And then, like, the length of this just is, it's like, status quo is a very interesting and troublesome force. You know?
Yep. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
There's actually, speaking of preparing for this, there's actually an episode of Explained on Netflix on pandemics because, like, and there's a, I think there's a good Ezra Klein Show episode about this that, like, happened a couple of, like, maybe last, like, sometime last year, because this is the thing that everyone said was going to be the thing that unraveled the world, that, like, we were just waiting for the next pandemic in a lot of ways, so... whatever, it's fine.
It's fine. I was we've been on a rewatch for a while now, but we've been on a rewatch of Homeland, and that's one that you like kind of like, we never finished it, so we sort of like went back to the beginning. So we went back to the beginning and are slowly sort of pacing through it, and we're on season three. And in the beginning of season three, I won't spoil the real plot points, but they're in Venezuela, and it shows what happens when an economy evaporates. And for the first time, I looked at one of these depictions of an evaporated economy and thought, we are not far from that. Mm-mm. And it's terrifying. Boy, we are just rays of sunshine here today on Mischief Managed. Mischief Managed, you hear me? Make new mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's the spiral that you can very easily fall into during times of uncertainty, because it's like, I can't imagine a positive future, and so I am dwelling on all of the things that are going wrong. And I think that it's really important to acknowledge that and make space for that and like accept that, like, yeah, the world is a trash fire, but there is hope somewhere. And I think that a really important part of managing uncertainty, whether it's in your personal life or in your professional life, is being able to have a vision of hope and like lean towards that. And I think that that's something that we have been doing here.
Yes.
Honestly, since the beginning, like, there has been a lot of like, oh God, what's going to happen? But we are very quick to come up with a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and also a blue sky.
It's absolutely true. The fact that we can see and plan for and get excited about what's coming in our future has been a very powerful force. And even if some of what's coming is just our belief in ourselves and our belief in our team and our belief in our ability to pull ourselves out of this, I think is a really important piece of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, have a dream is what we're saying. Make a vision board. You're at home. Make a vision board. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Build a network, find a tangible thing, have a dream. Those are three. I think we did it. I think we solved it.
We did it. Yes. And I didn't realize that that's like we've been doing, you know, reaching out to the network, have a plan, have a dream. Solved. Uncertainty solved. Here I'm making mistakes. So one of the uncertainty has been why we've been unable to record this podcast, because thinking about what this podcast is about, which is the mistakes that you naturally make in the course of business, nothing feels like a mistake right now because everything is the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It also feels like everything's a mistake. It feels like like isolating in on like, man, I didn't handle this completely unprecedented situation as well as I could have, sort of feels like a duh moment to everybody, you know? And thinking about life before this is pretty nigh on impossible.
Was there life before this?
I don't think that, you know, I've studied it, Takiya. I don't know if there was.
Oh, man.
I'll make my dream board and I'll let you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I did make a dream board at the end of last year.
Cool.
No.
No.
I got to tell you. I said cool. None of those really stand.
Before you said at the end of last year, I was like, oh, cool. And then you said at the end of last year, I was like, oh.
Wah, wah.
So I texted Jordan at some point during this, and it was just like there was something going on near his house, or like sirens or something. So I just texted him to kind of like see if he was okay, like what was happening. And I looked at our previous text, because we normally communicate in Slack. Yeah. And our previous text right before it was, we're in late 2019. It was something unrelated. And at the end, I was like, 2020 is going to be such a year for us. I can't wait. And he was like, me too. And I was like, Jordan, look at our old text. He's like, ugh, like vomit emoji, you know.
There was a, so at BroadwayCon this year, there was a guard standing outside the door of the bacon event.
The bacon event?
As we were getting.
Let's not even explain it. Bacon event. Sorry. There was a bacon event.
That's all you need to know. And it was like, as we were getting alerts about the coronavirus, like shutting down things in Wuhan, like it was like at the very beginning of this. And he like made a comment about like how sucks that they named it after Corona because like the stocks are gonna tank.
Yep.
And I laughed and also was like, that's so dumb. Like I was just like, this is a dumb exchange that I'm having sitting here waiting for time to pass. And I remember it so crystal clearly because it was like one of the first like times I had talked to someone like publicly about this thing. And I was just kind of rolling my eyes. And then everything starts to just like happen. Yeah. There are going to be before coronavirus and after coronavirus stories. Like that is the way the world will look next year. And it's really interesting to be living through historical moments over and over and over again. But I do think that we're prepared for this, at least psychologically. I do think that as a society and as a company, like we will get through this. I agree that it's hard to think about what the world looked like before, and it's impossible to know what the world will look like after. And so as we are in it, it is very hard to talk about high level, making mistakes and growing and learning, because as we talk, as we have this conversation, we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So stay tuned to Making Mistakes to find out how we grew and how we learn. Ding. We are going to get back to recording this podcast. We just needed to recenter and rethink about what it will mean and maybe just make ourselves a nice list of things.
Yeah.
25 topics all at once. In the meantime, if you have questions about how we are dealing with this or anything at all, send us an email. What are we? newmistakespod@gmail.com?
We are. And honestly, send us your mistakes. We would love to talk about those.
Yes, please do. I would love to talk more about mistakes you have made, mistakes that you would like us to comment on, and what you're learning during the time of coronavirus. I would love to hear from other people in business what kind of things they're learning through all this uncertainty.
Have you seen any mistakes in the news?
It's hard to see anything but mistakes in the news right now. There's so many. How about you?
I again don't want to get political, and this hasn't happened yet technically, but the Trump rally in Tulsa, dear Lord.
Oh, did you see that they're suing? So the Trump, okay, yeah. So we're recording this on June 18th.
Yep.
Tomorrow is June 19th when the Trump originally scheduled his rally without any self-awareness, or perhaps too much self-awareness, scheduled his rally, the first one since coronavirus hit. Rescheduled it, bowed to public pressure, which is a big flag that things are really spiraling for him, because he never does that.
Yep.
And then, and now there's a lawsuit to make the rally attendees have to follow CDC guidelines on social distancing, on masks, etc. And I don't know if there's like an injunction that they're trying to get, but you know, if the court says yes, you have to follow CDC guidelines. What do you think is the possibility that
we see Donald Trump in a mask? God only knows.
Yeah. Ah. Or even his people at his rally.
Yeah, I don't know. This seems like a very large mistake that is going to unfold before our eyes, like a slow moving train wreck.
Yeah. They make them sign. They're making them sign some sort of waiver. And like, part of me is like, yeah, that's a liability waiver. Are we all going to have liability waivers about epidemics in the future? Just in general, just period.
Yeah.
I kind of like see it. On the other hand, it's like, in the middle of a raging pandemic, you're making people promise that they won't sue you if they pick up the wildly raging pandemic that we know is killing people while coming out to dear leader you.
Yeah, though, like, at the same time, this one is crazy. This one is a mistake. This one is going to be very, very bad, and it is a health concern, and it is scary, and, like, I don't want anyone to die out of this, but 100,000 right. people, in a closed-in space right now is bad.
It's 100,000?
Something like that's one of the quotes that I saw. I do imagine that next year, the terms and conditions for every event that you go to is going to have some sort of, I recognize the potential for, yeah, like, you have to.
Yeah, you have to. So, yes, that's mistakes in the news this week. Any kind of coping mechanisms you're doing? I think I mentioned a couple.
I'm still eating a lot of brownies, honestly.
Sounds great to me.
Oh, man. I've really enjoyed doing the Steven Universe extraneous with Leah. It's really nice to be watching a cartoon. I've started watching Avatar with my...
Have you never?
I have never. This is my first time.
I'm so excited for you. Truly. I thought it was going to take Will like at least 5 or 6 episodes to get into it. I was like, just get him to watch a cartoon, you know? I was like, just sit with me for like 2 episodes. At the end of the second episode, he was just like, wait, we must keep going. And we watched the whole thing in like 4 days.
Wow. Yeah.
So what are you up to?
We just finished book 2. So.
Oh, now you're really getting into it.
Yeah. So we shall get to firebending, I suppose, very soon.
It's so good. And Azula. Have you met Azula yet?
Yeah. Yes.
She's
actually crazy.
She only
just batch it.
Yes. And she only gets better as a character as time goes on. She's one of the most enjoyable, like, from a visceral, like, she's a horrible person, of course, but she's so good to watch. Oh, I love Avatar.
But yeah, so that's been good. Those are coping mechanisms. Lots of cartoons. Yeah.
Honestly, there's so much cuddling with the dog in this house that and I recommend getting engaged.
Do you now?
If it's your thing,
did that help?
If it's your thing, it was. It just, you know, it was really nice.
A light in the dark times.
It's wild that in the middle of all this, one of the I don't know, maybe top 5 most important things to happen in my life happened in the middle of all this, you know?
It's a good story.
Definitely a good story of why I got proposed to with a shell.
Yep.
You try to get a ring right now. Try. You know? It's been lovely to sort of like sit in that renewal of appreciation of each other's existence on this planet, you know. It's been helpful, so yeah.
Well, guys, go out and get engaged.
you know, if it's your thing, go out and get engaged. But if it's not, then watch some Steven Universe and listen to Extraneous Steven Universe and watch Avatar, because if you haven't, what are you doing? And go join our Patreon so we can talk all about it.
Yes, absolutely. We're at patreon.com/makingmischief, and we've got really cool tiers, including our Discord, where we talk about all of these things.
We do. All of these things, and our animals, and cooking.
Animal Crossing. There's so much Animal Crossing so much. In the Discord. And as someone who just, like, doesn't do video games, it's just, like, wild to watch.
So two things. We had to make a separate channel Animal Crossing because it was too much. And I can't believe I haven't mentioned this, but when we talk about coping strategies, at midnight tonight, I cease to exist to the world, because at midnight tonight, The Last of Us Part 2 will start being active on my PS4. And everybody who, you've heard me talk about this, it's my favorite story, one of my favorite stories of all time. It's been 7 years since I played the original, and I am so excited. I can't, it's been a real ray of light, even though it's going to be a very bleak and horrible and brutal story. I'm ready for some catharsis. Bring it. So midnight tonight, I'm not going to exist for like 2 days. It's very exciting. I was going to take the day off when this happened, but it turns out we closed our office on Fridays, so I'm fine. so yeah. And I would love to talk about that in the Patreon or in the Discord with all of y'all.
Yes. So go to patreon.com/makingmischief, support all of our awesome podcasts, and listen to Mel talk about The Last of Us 2.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And thank you for continuing to do so. And we will be here making more mistakes together.
Yes. We will talk to you soon.